you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 this morning. Before I actually take a look at the scriptures and a little bit of the series that we've been discussing, 2020 election. It's hard to believe. I think it's 100 days from today is the election on, I think it is November, what is it? What is it? November 3rd, all right? Some of you are like, ugh. All right, I know this is a big, every year it seems like, or every 4 years especially, it seems like whenever we, of course, elect a president, it seems like we're at a crossroads in our country. If you watch the news and everything like that going on in our country today, you feel it maybe even more so today than maybe what you have in the past. If you're not registered to vote, make sure that you get registered to vote in Pennsylvania. I think we have until October the 19th to register, so please make sure you register. Every vote is important. Pray for our country. They say that we're one generation away from barbarianism, right? And we have to be very, very careful. We need to pray for our nation, pray for discernment, exactly how to vote, who to vote for especially. Bright days can be still ahead, but I'm telling you, we need God's people to start praying, maybe unlike ever before in our lifetimes, and I know that He can do some great things. I know sometimes we see answers to prayer, sometimes they're a little elongated, a little bit later on, delayed, as we say, delayed. I just want to let you know that God is still in the business of answering prayer. Just the other night, it wasn't kind of that big of a deal. To my son, it was. We were having his prolonged graduation party, kind of, a little bit at my parents' house, and it was just... It was that deluge of rain on Friday night. Some of you may, it just was coming down like crazy. And I could see just the hurt in Ben's eyes. And I saw that, and I knew I couldn't do necessarily anything about it, but I knew that there was a God who could. And I recognized him with his friends and some different family members, and I prayed that the rain would stop in 15 minutes. It didn't look like it at the time that it was ever going to stop, but I prayed that. And it was interesting, my sister-in-law, as soon as it stopped raining, she said, "Dave, you're not going to believe this." I was like, "What?" She goes, "It quit raining exactly 15 minutes after you prayed." I'm like, "No, that wasn't really much as much me as it was who? It was God." And listen, if God's concerned, and if I'm concerned for other things like that, that isn't that necessarily that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things, don't you think that He cares for us? Yeah, He is. And He cares. He's a God of compassion, and He loves us. And I'm amazed at what He does. I know we shouldn't be amazed, maybe, but He's an awesome God, and He's worthy to be praised. He is worthy. Currently, we are taking a look at, and hopefully you've been enjoying this series, maybe it's been providing some clarity, some understanding. I've gotten a number of different emails and text messages dealing with this series, so I think it is ministering to people's hearts, and I'm very excited about it. Even as we come up, we still have a couple more weeks. I'm not sure exactly how long it's going to go. Some people were asking, "Do you think the Lord is coming back, like, right now, before the end of this series?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know." They said, "Extend the series, Pastor." I'm like, "Well, I will see what God does." But I hope that it's been clarifying to you. I hope that it's encouraging you, especially as we approach the days in which we are living. We have been considering understanding the times in which we live. We are living in the days right before the Great Tribulation, the time of Jacob troubles, unlike the world has ever seen. The next major, I would say, point in God's agenda would be the rapture. That's whenever He takes the church, the people that have placed their faith and confidence in Jesus Christ to save them. He raptures, He takes the church home, and what a day that will be. No fear for the church any longer. But God will still leave a remnant behind as well. And so even during times of discouragement, we see God as God still of mercy and understanding. During the times of the Great Tribulation, there are a number of different signs that God is going to allow to become a regular routine kind of life during that era in which they find themselves. There'll be deception, there'll be dissension, a deception from false messiahs, dissension from wars. There will be devastations such as famines. There will be diseases like pandemics, even like the one that we're going through with COVID-19, even right now. We have disasters dealing with earthquakes where certain parts of geographic regions will just be opened up, and also they will intensify more and more even as we see the second coming of Christ. We see sign six is deliverance, people that will basically stab people in the back, turn them over even to authorities. We see people that are disloyal, they will betray other individuals, and then there will be delusion. We considered that last week, where God will send strong delusion upon individuals, and they will believe many, many lies. And even today, we're going to take a look at some of those aspects of lying or things that are untrue. And so we've been taking a look at these different signs. These are things of the upcoming age. Now, still some of these things we still see in our broken world today, but it is unlike a time any other in history whenever people will actually be going through this great tribulation. And I think about this today because really our hope, we just sang about our hope is in Christ. Your hope better not be in your bank account, better not be in your house, better not be in your job security. All these things, they will fail you. Your hope better not be in the government, all right? All these things, they will disappoint and discourage you. This morning, our hope, rest assured of this, our hope needs to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. We sang that just a little bit ago. All these truths that we sing about, but nonetheless, they need to become part of the reality in which we find ourselves living in the 21st century. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to take a look at another sign here, the sign of defection here in just a few brief moments. Jesus is speaking here, he's talking about the love of people. And I want you to notice here that the love that Jesus is actually giving, it's that type of love that is benevolent, it's a committed type of love, it's a type of love that is found in our emotions and our affections, and we'll see that here in just a few moments. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13, Jesus speaking here, he said, because of the increase of, what's that next word right here? Wickedness. Do we live in wicked days? Yeah. Absolutely we do. There's people that say, well, that's even good things, they say evil, and that which is evil, they call it good. That is a sign in the days in which we are living right now. It's almost like, well, it's not that big of a deal. Even things that used to surprise, most of us that are 50 years and older, thank God I'm not there yet, all right? But 50 years ago, if you remember, some of you are then in your 70s, it's like a big deal with some of the things that are coming down the pike right now. You're like, oh, people would never say or even suggest or promote that. But they are today. We are going a long way in the wrong direction. There's wickedness on every hand. Because of the increase of wickedness, notice here, the love of most, now it doesn't say of all, but it says of most, people that will be living during this time period, the love of most will grow cold. It's apathetic, has the idea with that. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So here you have, we discussed all these signs in the last couple of weeks. So all these individuals, it's like, oh man, what does this mean? But the people that stand for truth, the people that still love God, these people will still have the opportunity to be saved. And I'm so thankful for that. As we consider today, sign number nine, is defection. It is the term defection. It has the idea of a turning away from God, turning away from those things which are truth, things which are noble, things which are excellent. It has the idea of deflecting, turning away from those things which are right and proper. Individuals will embrace what is right in their own eyes. Man, are we living in those days even right now? Yeah, absolutely. People won't even necessarily look at them at themselves or what they're doing as wickedness or evil or even offensive behavior. In our society today, that is true, but even more so in these days in which people will find themselves, they will not only be embracing evil, but there will be a promoting of it. And we see those things even in our society and our culture today. Sin will be downplayed. Sin will be trivialized. There will be a rationalization to sin, I believe, unlike ever before in society. Even a justification of it, of sin. They will justify themselves. There will be excuses that will just permeate our society and everything will be okay, at least in people's minds and their eyes. And unfortunately, some people will even be deceived of their hearts. Why do I say that? Well, think about this. We think that we live in a wicked and a depraved world, in which we do. But can you imagine whenever the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way? Can you imagine whenever all the Christians are gone? Unlike the world has ever seen, probably. That's one of the reasons I believe it'll be so bad. Secondly, sin will naturally increase in one's life if it is replaced, the love of God, the things that are right and noble, if it is replaced with evil. They'll just pursue it. It's the desire of man's heart. And you'll never be able to be fulfilled. You'll never be able to be satisfied. It's what individuals will desire, and they will pursue it day in and day out. And this pursuit of evil will zap any spiritual fervor that one has for most people. The term for love here that Jesus gave, that the love of many will wax cold, is agape. Agape has the idea of being compassionate and generous and caring. A lot of different organizations were basically feeding off that. Think about it even today. You have the YMCA, you have shelter ministries, you have Crossroads, you have a lot of different even ministries that care for other individuals. But during this period in time, there'll be very, very little of that because it'll be a time of self-preservation. It's almost like you have to survive by yourself. And not a lot of people will be loving, having that agape type of love towards other people. This agape love will grow cold and therefore will be diminished or lessened in the world due to the extreme self-centeredness and, I believe, self-preservation of just surviving. I think about it even today. The battle lines are being drawn even right now, and I don't even think that we realize it for most of us. Even today we see glimpses of what the end times will be. Today in our culture, now I want to pause here and say this. I'm going to mention some different groups, and I don't like to do it. I have love for all of humanity, not like Jesus, but I have a love for us. I'm not calling out these different groups because I'm mad and angry and I'm against the individuals, but there's an agenda with some of these that I'm going to mention, and I'm uncomfortable sometimes mentioning this, so pray for me, saints, I need this as well. In our culture, in our world, there is starting to be a defection, a drawing away from that which is pure and right and even innocent in our lives. I want to draw our attention to some of the things, especially in recent days, in which we've seen, especially here in the United States of America. I want to draw out basically two lies here today that I feel that are being defected. And if we're not careful, even as Christians, we can be exposed to certain things so much and so often, and it's like, well, what's wrong with that? Listen, we need to have the mindset of what's right with that. There's a big difference there between the two. And sometimes it's a gray area, I realize that, but some of these areas that I'm going to express this morning by God's leading, I pray that it speaks to your heart. Share with other people too this week, because we are living in a messed up world, and we need some order to return. Lie number one is this. Truth is relative. Truth is relative. In other words, everything fluctuates and it is open for debate. There are some things that you and I, we can discuss and we can debate on, but the truths of God's Word, they have always stood the test of time and they will continue to be so. I'm reminded of a story years ago, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that he was having, our 16th president. He was having a discussion, kind of an argument with this one individual. And he said, well, for sake of argument, and this guy was trying to wrestle with the truth. And he said, well, let's just call now a cow something else. I forget what animal it was. And he said, he goes, all right. He goes, well, sure. I think it was like, let's just call a cow a mule. I forget what it was exactly. And he said, okay, so now what do you call this? He said, a mule. No, he said, that's where you're wrong. He said, a cow is still a cow, even though somebody else says that it's something different. And I'm paraphrasing there. There's a lot of people in our world that are calling things differently than what they should be, and especially according to God. Truth is absolute. in our culture today, and I see these people, even in Lewistown I see them, we have a gender identity problem. People are like, and that's kind of the idea, it's like, what is going on? We kind of laugh about that, but you're thinking, what in the world are people doing? Years ago, there was been no, it's okay, male and female. That's who God created. He created them in his own image. But today we have this gender fluid. It's like, you are what you are, but some days it may differ. I have such pity on these individuals. I saw one not so long ago, this person. He was a guy dressed up like a girl. And at first I was like, very, very uncomfortable. And then I got angry. And then I sat there, and everybody that was in there with Domino's with me, waiting on their pizzas, they were very, I didn't know why it was quiet in there, but then I knew afterwards. But then all of a sudden, the mercy of God fell on me. And I prayed for that individual. Because listen, folks, if you have a problem with your gender, with your identity, you're going to be messed up. You're not going to be able to tell what's up and down. All these things that people are struggling with, it's a heart condition. It's not just a mind condition. It is. But it's a heart condition. We've strayed so far away from the things of God. And we're wondering why we're messed up. Truth is relative. It's not. With movements that even seem to be good, or what people would label them as good or important to certain people or individuals or even groups, I'm going to name a couple of organizations. Now, I'm not saying that everything that these organizations do are wrong. I think about abortion clinics, though. Planned Parenthood, it's taxpayer funded. We pay for this. Now, I know that they do some good things. They try to help women especially, and that's a good thing, but they also do a lot of abortions. It can seemingly seem good to give someone a way out. To make the earth less populated so that all of us have more things and more possessions. It seems even noble until you consider that the fetus or that the baby, it's a life. It has a heart, starts beating very early on, starts to develop brain, has its different members. And we have still some people that want to do basically killing almost maybe up to the time of their birth. It seems noble until you look at God's Word. We're going to consider a couple of verses dealing with abortion. Do you realize today, in America, there are 3,000 abortions a day. A little over that. A day. In the world, there are 125,000 abortions a day. I remember doing a study on this. I think it was in 8th grade. And 99% of abortions are done out of convenience. It's not endangerment of the mom's life, in other words. We just get rid of it. We're getting, and a lot of abortions are first fruits, are the firstborn. I think about this today. Maybe there was a baby that was born years ago that would have helped us with this pandemic. I'm just speculating. I wonder how many preachers and missionaries and evangelists, people just discarded. Makes you think. I recognize this even today, and I know some of you, I don't know this, but maybe there's one or two individuals that have had abortions here. I want to say to you, God's grace is sufficient. God will forgive you. It's not the unpardonable sin, and don't hold yourself based always on your past and be living in that. If you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. There's grace there, and hopefully there's grace with us as well. Life is precious. In a number of states, do you realize this? If you kill a mother that is advanced in her pregnancy, in her term of carrying the baby, that you basically are dealing with two murders, which is very interesting to me, even though they don't consider abortion murder. Even more so than what our country would say is right and wrong, I go back to the Word of God. Always go back to the Word of God. It's truth. Exodus 20, verse 13, it's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not kill. In Exodus 21, 22 through 25, I want to read these verses because these verses are so applicable in the era in which we are living and find ourselves. God said, if people are fighting and hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. So it has the idea there has to be reconciliation, there has to be justice in some form is what God is saying. And then I think about what Psalm 127 verse 3 says, and even Jackie was talking about her great-grandchild being born just recently. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Children, in other words, are blessings from God. Now I know this, our children can drive us crazy sometimes. I realize that, I've got four of them, all right? Sometimes they don't listen. It reminds me a little bit of me maybe growing up as well. But we go through, it's part of family, but do you realize this? God loves people. He orchestrates, even whenever it's like, oh, this was a mistake, this is an unknown thing. God orchestrates all these things by His power, by His divine intervention, that He does these things for us. I can mention other organizations that promote abortion, but us as Christians, don't be ashamed to stand for what is right and what is noble and what is excellent, and that's preserving life. The second thing is even more, hits I think more close to home because I've been watching the news recently and I can get all worked up over different things that I see and I'm like, what are mayors, what are governors doing or what are they not doing? It drives me crazy. I'm like, get me into a... No, I don't want to go into politics. But get me into this position, I will assume this control. It's almost like I want to make things right, but I know that's not necessarily my obligation either. I think of Black Lives Matter. Mr. Dean, don't go there! Right? I'm going to say this about this organization. Listen, all lives matter. They should matter. They matter to God. They should matter to us. And I know it's a play on words. It's like almost people aren't, they're not saying that all lives are bad. I know you talk to different people in groups and different things like that. And I feel bad for the young man that I don't exactly know what he was doing. It looked like it was an innocent thing. But listen, you're going to have even policemen, they're not perfect. What happened to George Floyd, in my opinion, it wasn't right from what I looked at. I don't know all the ins and outs of that. But the people have been incarcerated now, and that's a good thing. But all lives matter. I think about this. I went to college it's been about 20 years ago, I guess, whenever I started. During my, I think it was the latter part of my sophomore, maybe early junior year, I had two roommates God gave me a love for. And we all came from, we had different skin colors, and we had different backgrounds. And Chunga, he was an African-American. And Mike, he was a Mexican. And we just, do you realize in the, basically at least four semesters, maybe five semesters that we were with one another, we did not have a crossword with each other. Now that's even hard for me to believe. I don't ever remember having a crossword with any. We respected each other's boundaries. And we showed mutual compassion and concern for each other. Now, I know that we were probably joked about on campus because I was the white guy. There was African American and there was a Mexican. I realize we probably took some hits for that. But you know what? It didn't bother us. It didn't bother us in the least because we just loved on each other. Realize this morning, all of us to a certain degree, whether we would like to recognize it or not, we can have some prejudices. We just do. Because we're not perfect. We may have some bias towards individuals or to groups and things like that. And God has to deal with us on an individual basis as well regarding these things. It's important to remember that we are made in God's image and that God values us and therefore we need to value each other. Jesus said in Matthew 22, in verse 29, that we are to love our neighbor as who? As ourselves. This nonsense that is happening in Minneapolis, Atlanta, New York, all these, the reason why all these things are happening, a lot of the reasons, is because we are not loving each other the way that we should. Jesus said this, "By your love for one another shall all people know that you are my disciples." Even in a violent world, I wonder what that would look like if we would truly love each other the way that we would want to be loved. I recognize this with different movements. Different movements such as Black Lives Matter, they can be hijacked, kind of, and I think that's to a certain degree what's happening. Be careful, there are certain groups that they can have hidden agendas. What started out as being good can be derailed very quickly. Unfortunately, many people want to diminish the truth and have the truth what they think that it should mean and twist it so it's warped. Many years ago, I got this. This is back in 1994. I got it in seminary. It's Josh McDowell's book. If you haven't read this book, they have different, I think, even more up-to-date versions of it. But it's entitled Right from Wrong. I encourage you to get the book. It's very eye-opening. Dealing with teens, these are, and I want to read these three things, and this is about 26 years ago that this was written. 26 years ago, and this even makes me more fearful, especially for young people that are being influenced in different ways. These are dealing with statements about absolute truth in which people find themselves. Again, this is 26 years ago, and we're even more so, I'd say, even today. Statement number one is this: only the Bible provides a clear and indisputable description of moral truth. A fourth of the people said that that is not true of Christian. These would be Christian young people. So 75% said they would, but a one out of four said that that is not accurate. Here's another one. What is right for one person in a given situation may not be right for another person who encounters the same exact situation. Almost three-fourths of teens said that this is basically dealing with situational ethics, that would be the case. So in other words, what is true today may not be true the same thing for the other person. Here's the third statistic, which I found interesting. When it comes to matters of morals and ethics, truth means different things to different people. No one can be absolutely positive that they have the truth. 50% of teens that were taken in this poll said they agreed with that. And that's the people in the church. We are in trouble, folks. We have to remember that our opinion, where it matters, God's truth, and those things which are set before us in the Holy Script, that is paramount. Listen, do you realize this? Some people may get offended at the truth, and that's okay. People may feel guilty over the truth, and that's okay. Sometimes we just want to alleviate everything, any tension. But listen, tension is important sometimes because it captivates our mind and it affects our hearts to a point that it's like, well, no, that, ooh. And then all of a sudden they realize, and all of a sudden light is exposed to the darkness. We are living in the shadows, I think, oftentimes. There is a great eclipse that is that is taking over our society and our culture and our world, and it is a spiritual battle that we are facing right now. We need to be alert to it. Lie number one is truth is relative. The second lie, if it feels good, it's okay. If it feels good, it's okay. Well, there's a lot of things that may feel good to me that aren't okay with God. It's because of the brokenness, because of the unoffensiveness, because of my sin nature. Same thing it is with everybody. See, our conscience can be seared or warped. My feelings today, you hear this, my feelings are paramount. My rights are more important, even to the detriment maybe of either other individuals or people. I think of many police officers that have died even in recent days because of the riots. That wasn't right either. Remember this, two wrongs don't make a right. No matter how we try to justify things in our culture, it just doesn't work out that way. This theme of my rights, and man, it is permeated today in our culture. Even in Christianity, even in the church, it's like my rights. What I want is more important. I want to be expressed. I want to have this. I want to. This is the mindset of the Church of Laodicea in which we find ourselves. Listen, we need to wake up. Life is not all about me. Life is not all about you. It's all about God and His glory being reflected in and through you. We are being sold a bill of goods that the world can never deliver on. Listen, even if you were self-centered, egotistical, narcissistic, everything went your way. None of these things would lead us to Christ. If we were so spoiled and saturated with ourselves, we would still be lacking, we would still be wanting, we would still not be satisfied, because the eye is never satisfied. And we are being deluded in our minds and our hearts. We're being corrupted, we're being sold all these things that the world promises, and all of them will leave a void within our hearts. There is no substitute for what God gives to you. Everything else, everybody else that promotes things that will try to fill that emptiness inside, they're thieves, they're robbers. They're not telling you the truth. Don't believe the lie. Don't swallow it hook, line, and sinker. If it feels good, do it. Don't believe it. Don't follow that line of thinking. Our commitments and our allegiances become distorted and therefore one-sided if we defect, if we turn our attention and love away from God. Lawlessness tends to increase and intensify in history during famines, during pandemics in which we are facing, during revolutions due to the self-promotion and self-preservation. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. And this is where we find ourselves, and we need to grab a hold of this verse this week. Some of us need to commit it to memory. Because the world is adversely affecting us, and we can be warped in our thinking as well if we're not careful. Philippians 2, 3 says this, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." Don't allow anything to become through pride, in other words. "But in lowliness," in other words, humility of mind, "let each esteem others better than themselves." That's hard, isn't it? Because we want what we want when we want it. We can get so upset. We go through McDonald's drive-thru. You can't go into McDonald's, I don't think, right now. There's a screen there. Like, okay, I've been waiting in this line for 30 seconds. What is going on with them? We get all upset because it's not meaning what we want when we want it. It consumes us. This is the depraved climate in which people will be constantly surrounded by. As it was in the days of Noah, So will it be for these people that will be living during the Great Tribulation. People will be carrying on a life of normalcy. People will be eating, they'll be drinking, they'll be basically partaking in things that are normal, marrying and different things of that nature. And then the flood came. And then there was no more time for them. Time was gone. The end had come. The same is true here. When Jesus returns for his people for the second coming, time will be gone. Even in the day and the age in which we find ourselves, we have to be careful not to allow our affections and our love for God and love for other people to dwane and to lessen and to diminish. Do not turn away from the truth. Embrace it. Cling to it unlike ever that you had before in your life. Get into the Word of God so that God's Word can get into you. I don't know what the future holds, but if it continues to go on the path in which it's going, do you realize this? I believe, and it could happen even in America, we may not have a Word of God. We may not have it. You say, Pastor Dave, that's extreme. It could happen. And for generations, for young people here, you got to cling to it. You got to memorize it. Don't think that you're always going to have it. Get into the Word of God. Study it. Meditate upon it. Love God. He's given it to you for a purpose. I hope we have it for another 100 years in America, but we're not promised it. Memorizing, young people. When's the last time, even us as adults, we memorized the Word, a passage, a verse? We're so consumed with ourselves. We need to be more consumed about God's love letter to us. It's to us. It's for us. Sometimes I'm embarrassed in tears, but not today. God's touched my heart in such a profound way. As a nation, a lot of people say we're a Christian nation. Well, I don't know what that looks like. We turn our back on God so often and so much. I don't know if that's true or accurate. I want it to be true. But I don't know about the validity of that. We've taken God out of schools. And we're wondering where He's at today. We've taken Him, tried to take Him out of philosophy. A lot of churches aren't having Sunday school today. Not just because of the pandemic, even before that. So people don't know the truth oftentimes. Folks, do you realize it's only a matter of time before the rapture happens? It could be even before I eat my chicken and waffles this afternoon. Man, I wish I could eat one more bite of that. But that's okay. God has better things in store for us. The rapture could happen at any time. I don't know of anything in prophecy that has to be fulfilled between now and the time Jesus calls the church home, His bride. The church's time on this earth is limited. It's drawing to a close, in my opinion. What will you and I do with the truths, with the information that was given to us today? For the church, we need to wake up, we need to shape up, and we need to clean up. We need to get our act together. Our Redeemer is counting on us. Souls are in the balance. People are still seeking for truth. Some people are. May we be the light and the salt that God would have us to be. What will you, what will I, what will we collectively do for our Savior, our friend, our Messiah, our Redeemer, our King? He's coming. and he's coming soon.